B-Pod Studios.
No one says it like they do.
What do you mean?
Well, what do you mean?
Felger and Mads.
I'm just making it up. Totally making it up.
98.5, the Sports Hub.
It's just interesting to me. You bring in two rookies and takes the new out on third and five.
The two rookies are to the left along with Edelman. The twist up front, picked up, and a throw to the left, intercepted, picked off by Roby. Runs it back right across the 15, tackled inside the 10. Bradley Roby, the former Bronco, with an interception return to the New England 6.
I don't know whether to blame throw or the route. I'm going to start with blaming the throw. It's a bad throw to the backside. But again, you get two rookies in on third and five. You know, it's man-to-man. Brady looks, and he stepped under, he undercut Harry here. He's trying to get the ball to Harry to the backside. Harry kind of pulls up, he goes down, but I'm still going with it's a bad throw there. But again, why do you not have a veteran in on a third and five? You're on the road, up three.
Can you take us back to the interception and just what you saw on that play?
I threw it and they got it. Bad result.
So maybe the signature play in that defeat, and I think it's a sort of a good jumping off point, that interception, because you could blame a lot of people. Could blame a lot of people. And I think it's easy to blame the rookie receiver. And I don't know, I think he might be the least to blame of the whole thing. Could N'Keal Harry have done a better job of boxing out the player behind him?
Yes.
Yeah, sure. I guess. I mean, yes. Not I guess, yes. But it's a bang-bang thing going a million miles an hour, and Roby was jumping the route. So, it's not like the Patriots fooled the Houston Texans on that play. Roby was there. He was ready. Whether Harry's going to block him out or not, Roby was in there. Furthermore, as Zoe pointed out, it's third and short on your second series, and you have two rookies out there running that little play versus Mohamed Sanu, who you gave up a second-round pick for. So you can second-guess the personnel. You can second-guess the throw from Tom Brady. Who is more at fault, Brady or Harry, if you just put it down into that?
Given the experience, Brady.
Yeah. So, so we can, you know, debate all of that. And in that defeat, I think you can sort of put all of it on everything. Brady's surrounding cast, certainly a problem. No question about it. The coaching in that game, real sketchy. I thought some coaching decisions in that game. I thought they got outcoached, if you can believe it, by Bill freaking O'Brien.
They really did. Again, they got outcoached. The game plan for Houston was better, and the Patriots made some bad decisions.
And some of the offensive play calling, head scratching. Okay, so you can put that in that play as well. And on the list, and I don't think it's first on the list, so I just want to keep reiterating it, but I do go to Brady because I think he's the lead story on the team. I think this might be the swan song for Brady. This might be the final act of the greatest career in the history of sports, just about on that level. Maybe the greatest NFL player who's ever lived is just about done, I think. And I think it's an important story, and so I gravitate towards him. And I think his role in it is significant to me. He's not a bigger problem than the lack of options. I'm not telling you it's a bigger problem. But could it be better than it is? And I think Brady gives up on those around him quicker than he ever has, to the team's detriment. I think that happened again last night. I felt resignation from Brady. So he throws that interception on the second series. On the third, he gets crossed up with Jacoby Myers on the sidelines. And that's when he comes off, tosses his helmet, and has that conniption fit on the sidelines. Third series, down 7-3. They had pinned Houston on the 12-yard line. You're down 7-3. You have them pinned at the 12-yard line with the best defense in football on the field. And you're carrying on the sidelines like what? Like Dan Marino at worst, or, you know, so I just feel like the given factor from Brady comes too quickly, and his lack of patience for those around him is too great, and it's impacting the team.
He doesn't believe in the offense. He doesn't believe in his receivers.
Yeah, this has been building for a month, though.
Yeah, more than that. More than that. It's good. I think it's been building since the beginning of the year, for crying out loud.
It's not helping.
No, it's not. And this is that's really the thing. As you look at it and you say, is he the root of the problem? Of course not. No. But he's not helping the cause at all. If anything, he's hurting it. Because, again, I think these guys are terrified. I think Harry and Myers are afraid to make mistakes, and any progress that they might make is not going to happen as long as this guy's flipping his helmet behind the bench when he comes off the field.
And, oh, by the way, part of the reason they were down 7-3 versus tied 7-7 is that he missed a wide-open Philip Dorsett in the back of the end zone on the first series. So part of it's on him. Not that you'll get that on the broadcast or most of the analysis, because we tend to circle the wagons around these guys. These guys being Peyton Manning, Brett Favre, Aaron Rodgers. We protect them. And we sort of explain around everything that's not there around them versus taking a look at their plays that they didn't make. So I choose to look at the plays that they don't make. And Brady didn't make a bunch of them early in that game. He was part of the reason they were down 7-3. He missed Philip Dorsett. He threw the interception. Yet he's going to come off the field after the third series and toss his helmet like this. These turkeys don't get it. They can't play. Like, that's just
bad look.
Come on, man.
Yeah, really. And more than the, aside from the fact that it's a bad look, what message are you sending to the rest of the team? Really, this is, it's diva behavior is what it is. It's superstar diva behavior. These guys aren't worthy of me. They can't keep up. That's how it comes off. I just, man, flipping that helmet the way he did. And again, sort of just like, you know, with the hand action.
Yeah,
like,
well, I'm done
just
here.
Take it. I'm done.
Yeah, bad look. But last night for me, though, was the tipping point with the offense. And I mean that by the supporting cast. The supporting cast is garbage outside of Edelman and James White. And the people for the last month saying, like, well, you guys are overrating some of these guys like Myers and they need AB. Like, I don't want Antonio Brown back. But you people were right. I was wrong. They don't have enough. They don't have a tight end to speak of. And if you think, and this is why I'm tapping out, and I know I can tend to be very dramatic here, flip-flopping Murray, Big Jim Murray, all of that stuff. But if you still think they're good enough offensively to win the Super Bowl after last night, I think you're just dug in on Brady not putting in the work, and it's Brady, 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 and he's not good enough, and he's not giving these guys enough of a chance. Did Brady suck last night? Absolutely. But these losers he's surrounded with, they're not good enough. Sanu sucks. Dorsett sucks. Harry, a bust. Edelman, always doubled. Watson, old and no longer on PEDs. Myers, useless. The other tight ends, nobodies. Burkhead, worthless. Michelle, sucks and blows, Maz. And McDaniels, he also plays into this too. He's coaching scared. 9 of 11 of their first plays in that first drive. Runs. They get down to the red zone. I don't trust this offensive line. Oh, no. Big bodies up front. Put Brady in the shotgun. And they settle for 3. And yeah, he missed Dorsett in the back of the end zone. And he's complicit there, too. But the coaching is also part of this. I think a big part of it.
The coaching last night was garbage. Really, they got totally outcoached by Bill O'Brien, as you said. It felt to me like Houston finally got it. I don't know if Bill went in there, and I say Bill because ultimately he's the head of it. My bigger issue was with a lot of the offensive play calling. But even so, I wonder if they went in there and said, O'Brien's an idiot. They'll do the same things they always do, and we'll beat them. Like, that's what it felt like. The play calling, though, by McDaniels, hellaciously bad.
So you can talk about them abandoning the run even though they ran the ball well, or abandoning Sony Michel, who actually was running the ball well last night.
Yeah.
That's a big, broad one. But just specifically, first drive, you get down to the 5-yard line, and you run Brady on a rollout?
Yeah.
On a rollout?
Right. Yeah. Cut the field in half.
Brady?
I hate it. I hate that.
Right. Cutting the field in half for the guy that should see the field better than anybody.
That play, it was exactly what they did in the Eagles game. In that game, that ball almost got picked off, right, kind of like that one did last night. Like, what are you doing?
The one that did get kicked off in Buffalo. The same,
right. Yeah. Exactly right.
Was that a design roll to the right? Or he definitely rolled right. I can't remember if it was designed or not.
I just think it's a bad thing to do with him is to cut off half the field.
Let him see the whole field.
Absolutely.
No one sees it better.
Absolutely.
That stupid play call. Then the next play, again, Brady airmails Philip Dorsett wide open on the back line of the end zone. So is Brady going to get mad at Bill or the team for not surrounding with enough? He had Dorsett wide open in the back of the end zone. Maybe he should get mad at his offensive coordinator for calling that stupid rollout. Maybe he already is mad at his offensive coordinator, right, Stu? From what we believe, maybe that's not so chipper in there?
100% believe that. Brady and McDaniels, they're not best friends.
Okay,
they don't like each other.
So then you get to the end of the second quarter, and there's a bunch of, you know, questionable plays in between. But now you're end of the second quarter. It's 14-3. You've got the ball. I'm sorry, this is now the third quarter. My fault. You're down 14-3, third quarter. You're 4th-and-1 on their side of the field. And you've run the ball all night. And you run a pass play to Sanu.
I mean, this one blew me away. Of all the plays that I've ever seen them call in a big spot, this one blew me away.
Middle of the third.
And I'm not defending Sanu, by the way, who should have made the catch. But, Mike, it wasn't a yard. I know we call it fourth.
Yeah, it was a half yard.
And I'm not yelling at you. I'm just saying it's called a 4th-and-1, right? It was a half a yard. Maybe not even that. It might have been a foot. All they had to do was sneak it.
So
that's it. What are you throwing for there?
This is going to be my DN Van Line move around the league, okay? Making a league move requires research and a little guesswork, something you don't need when you call my mover DN Van Lines. DN Van Lines, a proud supporter of Christmas in the City, I might add, dnvanlines.com. Mohamed Sanu, okay? So This whole narrative that the team has abandoned Brady, didn't do enough to surround him, I find so preposterous and so wrong. It's not even funny. They went out and got the biggest high-risk a-hole in all of pro sports for Brady. Okay?
And you're talking about Antonio Brown.
Antonio Brown. Is Brady going to get mad at the team because Antonio Brown couldn't put his phone down? How is that the team's fault? The team brought in this guy at tremendous risk to the organization and their brand, paid him through the nose, and the baby couldn't put the phone down. So is Brady mad at the Krafts and Belichick? They did everything they could on Antonio Brown. Not only that, when Antonio Brown failed, they then overpaid for Mohamed Sanu. Okay, that's my Dion Van Line move around the league, the move for Mohamed Sanu. Now you get to 4th-and-1 last night. They call a pass on 4th-and-1. Bad call, but the play is there. Sanu's open, even if he got interfered with. And the ball was there, and Sanu dropped it. Is Brady mad at the Krafts for that? Or Belichick? Or are we going to say the Patriots left Brady high and dry? The play was there. It was wide open, and it was there, and the guy dropped it. Who are you mad at, Tom?
He should be mad at himself because he was the one that lobbied for Sanu. They got the wrong guy. They should have really tried to get Emmanuel Sanders.
I mean, it's like most people who kick up a storm when they don't get what they want. Oh, I want this guy. I want this guy. Then Sanu comes in, and you know what Brady is now realizing? This guy's not as good as I thought he was.
But that play's there, so you mad at the world, Tom? You mad at the organization for leaving you high and dry? After Antonio Brown let everybody down, they didn't tuck their tail. They went out and overpaid for another guy for you. And there he was, and you put it on him, and he dropped it. You get mad at Bill? So wait a minute. The team didn't do enough to surround you? It was right there. Never mind the fact that their last three first-round picks have all been on offense, all been surrounding you. Left tackle, receiver, running back. With this whole thing that they haven't tried, like they've abandoned Brady, is just patently absurd. It's absurd. They've swung and missed. Maybe Harry's a bust. Maybe he is, but it's not like they haven't tried. And on the receiver thing, I'm sorry. You blame Antonio Brown. You don't blame the team. Or again, how about your buddy, the tight end, who dinked everybody around, yanked everybody around for months to the point where you didn't have the money left to go sign another tight end because you were still waiting for Happy Pants there to sippy, sip, sip, or whatever Gronkowski was doing. Why don't you get mad at Gronkowski and not the team? And all this excuse-making for Brady and the team abandoning him, why don't you put it where it should be? Antonio Brown couldn't put his phone down. Rob Gronkowski was more interested in dinking you around and stringing you along than coming back and playing football. Mohamed Sanu dropped a ball right on him, 4th-and-1, middle of the field, that could have kept that game right within reach. That's where you put the blame. And, oh, by the way, maybe on the quarterback, too, who feels like he gives up on his team mighty early in some of these ball games.
Yeah, I think he's pissed at everyone. Like or at everything. And I think a lot of it goes back to the contract. I really do. I think the fact that they weren't willing to invest in him and commit. Commit's the word I like to use. That they wouldn't commit to him beyond this season, I think is at the base of the whole thing.
And I'd give him more consideration if he played better. He missed a bunch of throws in that ball game, which I will get back to later on. But next, your phone calls. I hate jokes. We're not taking jokes.
That joke's blue.
It's Felger and Mass, 98.5 The Sports Hub.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top 5 Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
I hate jokes. We're not taking jokes.
That joke's blue.
It's Felger and Mass, 98.5 The Sports Hub.
4th-and-inches. Ball splits the hash marks at the Houston 41.5. Sanu, Edelman, Lacoste to the right. Dorsett left. Brady under center with White behind him.
Sneak here.
Lacoste motions to the right wing. Brady waits on the snap from Ferentz. He takes it, drops back with a play fake to White. Sets up in the pocket. Throws it across the middle and an incompletion. Knocked away from Sanu. Ball jarred free by the veteran Jonathan Joseph. The Patriots elected to throw it, and they're denied.
Great accurate throw. That's a drop by Sanu on the track.
A little bit of bad luck. Could have been a PI there. But when you throw instead of run, you sort of open up all those little... You know, the degree of difficulty gets higher.
Absolutely. More people involved.
Receiver loses a half step. Now that ball that would have been right on target is just a little high, a little wide, a little coming in a little hot because the receiver's off stride just a little bit because he got a PI and you didn't get a flag, but it still hits him in both the hands and he can't come up with it. And so you just that close, but be that as it may, Brady wanted Sanu. They gave him Sanu. Fourth and one, wide open. He puts it on him, and he drops the ball. I don't want to hear how the team has neglected Tom Brady. It's freaking absurd.
Yeah. Look, again, I mean, I think the situation, I don't know what the source of Brady's frustration is. Okay, I think it's bigger than just the personnel. That's what I think. But he's not helping the cause. At some point, you would like him to focus on the season. And it doesn't feel like he's focusing on the season.
Okay, to your thoughts, as promised. Jim in Connecticut, go.
Yes, there's no way that the Patriots are going to the Super Bowl this year. You stop and think, as Gronk retires. And then, is what does Brady do with the plethora of new players he decides to take the summer off? And then they give him a lousy contract. And then, as Belichick says, hey, Tom, we're going to emphasize the defense this year. And then...
Okay, but
as he pays no attention to his new receivers, they get him two receivers. One blows himself up, commits suicide, and the other one they trade. He's doing fine with Seattle, thank you. Now Tom is forced to go with his rookie receivers, who he's got no rapport whatsoever with.
Who he hates. Let's just call for who he hates. Be that as it may, good, it's the history lesson, we got it. You're 10-2. You're the number 2 seed. If Baltimore has a hiccup, you could very easily be the 1 seed again. So what? 2 weeks off, bye date. Here comes some team that just got beat up on wild card weekend. You like the Patriots' chances no matter who that is? I do. Now you're in the AFC title game, one off.
I mean, he's just, look, he's spending so much time bitching about the problem and lamenting the problem that he's not focusing on the solutions to the problem. Right? Like, that's really what it comes down to.
Correct.
They're in the spot still, regardless of how they got here. They are. And so the job for him is now different.
What if he spent all that energy that he did throwing the conniption fit? What if he spent that encouraging the guys?
Absolutely. I think that's a big part of it.
But encouragement can't make suck players better. In the case of Myers and this bust first-round draft pick in Harry. So I can understand his frustration there. I'm done defending these two, especially Myers.
Like, Murray. I'll tell you what. I'm sorry to cut you off. I don't even need him to encourage the other guys. Stop acting like a 2-year-old when they make a mistake. Like that. Just stop with that. Stop flipping your helmet off because the kid sees it. Yeah, I guarantee you the kid sees it.
Yeah, it's probably not a good look, but he's been around long enough and he's got the resume. You know, so and granted, I'm a Brady Bobo for the most part. So at this point, like, if you want to pop off, pop off. You've been surrounded by crap.
Oh, thank God the NFL Network is showing the missed ball here to Philip Dorsett. Someone's going to show it. Thank you.
He was wide open.
Oh.
And you had to get rid of, the caller brings up a good point. You had to get rid of Gordon, too.
Watch this one. They're going to show this one now. This was the one in the second quarter where he's got Jacoby Myers wide open underneath on a little in cut to set up a field goal, and he drills it not behind and low. I didn't spend any time on that, Collinsworth and Michaels, last night, did we? No, we're too busy protecting and circling the wagons around the superstar quarterback, and it's always the options around him. It's always they have left him high and dry. I don't see the replays about the missed throws.
It becomes about the quarterback and not about the team. This is the problem.
It happens over and over again. I've seen it a million times. It's happening to you guys.
They just, you know, I don't know what his problem is. I don't know what's at the source of it. Only he knows that. What I do know is that they're a different kind of team, and all he has to do is not make mistakes. And, you know, look, they've won a lot of these games on field position and things like that. Last night, they didn't have any of that.
And, Murray, I'm not convinced. I mean, you're not going to get Jacoby Myers to suddenly run a 4-3 like that, no matter how much you pat him in the ass. But if you encourage him and work with him, maybe when you want him to run the slant, he'll run the slant and not the flag. You know, I mean, is it possible that the next time you go out and he sees the defensive back, you're on the same page if you actually – you try to get on the same page with the guy versus, I don't know, throwing him under the bus every time he come under the sidelines? I don't think Brady's approach is making him better. That I know.
He's not helping.
Carl in Waltham. Go ahead, Carl.
Hey, I called a couple months ago noticing that the team was slow, and I didn't know if it was fatigue or just talent, and you guys basically said that it was they're lacking explosiveness and some speed.
I don't think they're the fastest team. Why?
What do you? I agree, and I called it 2 months ago. But I think the main thing is that they're overreacting, trying to play cute, And I think they're coming into the games with way too many reps trying to get the offense in line that they're causing more fatigue, and that's going to be dooming them at the end of the year.
So they're gassing the team by...
I don't buy that for a second.
I don't even get the point.
No, me neither. Here's the other thing I would say. Were they fast last year?
No, they've never been the fastest team. That's the whole point.
But let's say...
They're smart, they're tough, they're physical, they're heady, they make simple plays, they don't screw up. Almost never looked at the pace that they win on speed.
Okay, like, but even relative to other Patriots teams, are they slower? Maybe. I mean, maybe a little bit. I don't know. But they weren't fast last year.
Guys were still open last night, and they were missed.
It's not a speed issue. It's not a speed issue.
Harry in Swansea, what do you think?
I'm just curious about, do you ever not, what you do with Brady is you take so much time bashing him. It's like, it's got to be half of the show. You got to time it. Here's my point. They had last year, they had Gronk, they had Andrews, they had Devlin. The biggest mistake, the biggest problem with that team is Devlin's missing. They don't have any speed. They can't stretch the field. They can't run the ball. They did run the ball somewhat last night. But my point is this. Brady's frustration comes out of his own personality. That's what makes him great. He's a psycho. And when he gets angry, he gets angry. Yeah. When he gets passionate, he gets passionate.
We didn't say that about Marino. We called him selfish. So, I mean, I don't know. If you want to be consistent, you can. But usually the quarterback that does that to his teammates, Philip Rivers, Dan Marino, we've talked about it a lot. They're selfish. Aaron Rodgers throwing his teammates under the bus. It's not because they're ultra competitors. It's just how they're wired. No, they're a-holes. But when your guy does it, he's a competitor. Okay, got it.
I mean, you know, one more person brings up James Devlin. I'm going to freaking have an aneurysm on the air.
Well, it's a bad look. But I can also understand the frustration because sometimes you can't make chicken salad out of chicken crap.
Sony Michel averaged 5 yards a carry last night.
Let me ask again. What was the problem with the running game last night?
None.
They went away from it.
Right. They stopped doing it. That was the problem. They got behind 14-3, and they turned into one of these teams that as soon as they face a little adversity, their head gets cut off, and they start running around, don't know what the hell they're doing, and they abandon what the game plan was. Or at least an element of the game plan. Stupid. They were running the ball. With their defense, if they had just committed to it and stuck with it and gotten a touchdown, it might have been 14-10, and here we go. Because they can create turnovers, they can create field position, they have all of those elements, and they got away from it. They can't just drop back and throw. They obviously don't have the horses to do that.
Haven't said it very often, but I did feel last night could have used more Sony Michel. I've never really felt that in many games here in his two-year stint as a Patriot, but... When they ran with him, they were fine.
So my big gripe with Michelle is that they're becoming predictable again. And they showed this graphic during the game last night that when White's in the game, they pass 80% of the time. When Michelle's in the game, they run 65% of the time. And so that tells me that now they've abandoned the idea of throwing to Michelle, which feels to me like it's coincided with those two games where he ran the wrong route. There was one two games ago where the ball deflected off him, almost got picked. And I think they said right then and there, probably because Brady demanded it. Now I'm putting something on him or blaming him for something that maybe he didn't even do. But Brady said, I can't have this guy in the game in passing situations because he doesn't know what the hell he's doing either.
Well, you tell me. You have a rookie receiver, first-round pick, who has raw talent. The first time you throw to him, there's not the greatest route, not the greatest ball. It ends up as an interception. That's the second series of the game. And then you bury him. You essentially bench him the rest of the game. Is that a healthy situation?
No.
Yeah, probably not, but if you look at the kid as a liability and he can't run a good route or he's afraid to body someone or whatever the hell the problem is, because it does feel like there is an issue with N'Keal Harry. He just doesn't get it. So, yeah, you know what? Look at him as a liability.
Why can't you throw him to, on the boundary where, you know, you're not really guessing what route he's going to run and you're not, you know, it's just a back shoulder deep down the sideline. Why can't you have him for that? Or
you
the
can.
Red zone.
You can. And the other thing is I think you also have to factor in where you are with regard to your passing game overall. Okay, so if you had all these great weapons and you want to take Harry off the field and say, look, you're just not earning the time right now, fine. You need this kid now. You need him now.
He's helped so much.
I just don't know how you
draft pick.
Develop him.
He helped against Dallas, Murray.
I just
one good catch, neat.
But how do you develop him when he has one bad play and you bench him?
You don't. I mean, it feels like they're giving up on him too.
They or he?
Both.
We continue with your thoughts after Murray's update.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking five of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on five we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top five? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.
Felger and Mass.
I love it.
You were right, Mass.
I just keep loving it more and more.
Bored my listeners to death.
I finally feel alive.
98.5, the Sports Hub.
Sounds good.
Thomas, is he talented enough offensively to take you where you want to be?
I mean, like I said, we're battling. We're trying as hard as we can. And, you know, hopefully we can make enough plays and, you know, be the best we could be. It doesn't all remains to be seen. So, you know, you can make a bunch of predictions and so forth, but that's not what it's about. It's about going out there and doing it. And, you know, a lot of guys made some plays tonight and try to build on it and see if we can do better next week.
And giving these guys more support, that's just an interesting thing to think about. I don't know if it'd make them better. I mean, it's not going to make someone run a 4-3 if they run a 4-6. Like, I get that. So will showing more support to N'Keal Harry and Jakobi Meyers get more out of them? Maybe not, Murray. Maybe you're right. Maybe it won't matter. But this is what I do know. Brady's current approach isn't working either.
Exactly. See, that's my point.
It's not getting better. This is what's concerning, is that I thought for sure you'd be seeing, you know, baby steps. And it feels like they actually went in reverse a little bit last night.
I would say on both sides of the ball. But that's another story.
This is primarily, you know, a Brady consideration. So it's not getting better, and I'm not even talking about the podium stuff. I mean, we play the post-game sound so you get a flavor of what he was saying after the game. I'm talking about in-game. I'm talking about the Jakobi Meyers gets crossed up on the sidelines on the third series, and Brady pulls the, you know, you suck, that business. Like, that's not making him better. Okay, so what if the other thing? Well, what if you went up and patted him on the ass?
Well, see, that's how I feel. I just feel like it's, you know, whatever he's...
Well, just try it.
Yeah, it's affecting their confidence. Any shot you have is going to be dependent on these guys getting more confident. Any shot you have. You might not have a shot, but airing them out? How's that going to work?
And if it were working, I'd say, fine, keep airing them out. But it hasn't. I don't think those guys have gotten more confident. I mean, Brady's diatribe last night, it was Edelman and Dorsett. And I'd like to go back and watch it one more time. I don't think the young guys were anywhere near him. Like, they're afraid. They're afraid of daddy.
Yeah, I still think the message was for them, even if they weren't
there.
Well,
but this is what I mean, though. Yeah. It's like, they're not even within earshot. We're not going near that guy. He hates us. You know, and those are Brady's receivers.
I mean, it's a problem. There's a massive disconnect there. Like, again, they're looking at Brady and they're saying, you know, he was in the league when they were three or whatever. Like that's a massive disconnect. And they're looking at it going, this is the great Tom Brady? This guy's an a-hole.
Oh, and by the way, he missed Dorsett on the first series and threw it to the other team on the second. He's yelling at us.
Yeah, I see your point, but I don't know. I just don't think you can get anything out of these guys. They are what they are. And isn't that on the coaches, too? Like, so now he's got to be a coach and worry about that end of the his job description?
Yeah, at quarterback.
At 42 after 20
yes,
years? Screw that.
That's part of the quarterback position. It is. You are. It's the whole, you're the quarterback of the team. It's a part coaching position.
He doesn't believe in it. That answer we just played. Like, tell me that doesn't illustrate it. Do you think you have enough talent? Well, you know, we're trying. I mean, like, what?
It's true.
Really? Like, he could just easily say, guys, it's not a talent issue. These guys got plenty of talent. They're talented kids.
But they're not.
And, you know.
So you don't want to lie.
But Murray, how many superstars have they really? Gronk was unique. Okay, Gronk was unique. But how many, like, real superstar caliber players have they had on offense over the years?
Randy Moss, Wes Welker.
Okay, they never won with those guys.
12 years ago.
And they never won with those two. They won with David Givens and Deion Branch and Troy Brown. But
those guys actually had talent.
Julian Edelman. And those are the kind of guys that they won with. And so that's why I like a Jakobi Meyers. I think he profiles into that group. All those guys I just mentioned, Murray, were low drafted or undrafted. Deion Branch was a second round pick, but the rest of them were undrafted or low drafted or fringe roster guys that they just stuck with and developed. And, you know, that's why I think Jakobi Meyers ultimately should become one of those guys. He's not the finished product yet, but he's given you more than the first round pick, for crying out loud. And I think it's I think they're put in a real tough spot when their guy throwing him the ball freaking hates them. That's a tough spot.
He hates us. That play with Myers, when Brady wanted Myers to run behind the defender and run down the sideline to the open area, and Myers stopped and Brady chucked the ball down, that's the one that precipitated him flipping
the helmet. Correct. That was the play right before he flipped the helmet.
I mean, he lost his mind. He lost his mind on that play.
The kid's clueless, but he's untapped potential here. The caller had it earlier, that said it right. He's your Jay Crowder. As the Celtics fans were with Jay Crowder, just overrating a complete bum. That's how you are, Mike Felger, with Jacoby Myers. This hack, undrafted bum.
I still think Brady's acting like a two-year-old, because the way they're built now, he's going to have to accept the fact that they're not going to put up 40. And I don't know if he was expecting that last night or what. Now, again, I've told you this.
They can't even get to 17. Well, so 40.
So I think the bigger issue in terms of winning and losing the game was the defense. But if they're going to beat a good team, particularly one on the road, you know, they're going to have to play better on all sides of the ball. That thing last night was a freaking debacle.
Coaching has to be better, too. The play calling has to be better. You can't roll out Brady from the 5-yard line and take away half the field. That's patently absurd. For the guy who sees the field better than anyone who's ever played the game, you take away half the field. And if he has one negative quality, it's his mobility. You're going to roll him out? You know, roll him out and take away half the field when his strength is to stand there in the middle of the pocket and see the whole field.
Stupid.
Okay? So then there's that. Then,
not to mention the fourth and a half a yard. And they could have just sneaked it and picked it up. I don't understand why they didn't sneak it.
Meanwhile, you have the Herm Edwards special, which is... This thing was so bad, Freddie Kitchens looked at it and said, boy, those guys don't know what they're doing. Two-point conversion. You don't like the look, and you don't want to take a timeout, which is the right thing. I get it. You don't want to waste a timeout when you're trying to come back in the second half for an untimed down. You want to save those timeouts, so fine. But not to have a second play in your back pocket to switch, if they have a heavy front, he didn't like the look. He didn't like the front. They were going to run a running play, it feels like, on that two-point conversion. They were heavy. Houston was playing the run. So fine, you didn't want to run that play. Not to have a second play ready to go, or to have the personnel on the field ready to run a check with me, we're going to go to the other thing, is a Freddie Kitchens, Herm Edwards special.
I mean, that's a part of the play that I found flabbergasting, frankly. So the Patriots go up to the line now for a two-point conversion, they only have one play. So when the defense lines up, they're screwed.
So put Josh McDaniels on the list, too. We'll pick up that with your calls right after this.
Never be left out of the conversation.
Never not once.
Never not once.
Never not once.
Felger.
Good God, man. Have some pride.
Mads.
That guy's psychotic.
98.5 Sports Hub.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top 5 Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
Listening to Felger and Mass.
Doesn't always have to be ha ha hee hee.
Oh, love it.
98.5 The Sports Hub.
Pats will go for two, trailing 21-9. They'll deploy three receivers left. Lacoste, the tight end, hand down right. Now Edelman motions to the right. Wide is the single back behind Brady. James caught a direct snap in this fielding. Back Brady in Super Bowl 51. Brady surveys the defense, lets the play clock expire.
It's going to be a run.
And the Patriots. We're going to bring on Kai Forbath.
Yeah, it's going to be a run. I think what he's doing there is counting the guys in a box.
Now this is going to create a 38-yard extra point attempt. Now between the hash marks, Bailey sets up on the snap from Cardona in play. Swing of the right leg. Kick airborne to the uprights. And the kick is no good. Hooked it left.
Boy, they make it hard, huh?
Didn't like the look. We didn't want to use the timeout.
Again, I don't mind the not taking the timeout. I think that's a smart play. You'd also like to think that in a freaking dome, on AstroTurf now that you can make a 38-yarder.
Oh, I didn't think that at all.
But no, it's true. When he lined up, you're like, there's no shot.
Well, especially after the extra 5 yards, I went, oh, boy.
As soon as they took the penalty, I was like, oh, I know what's happening next.
you could see that coming.
But since when do the Patriots not have a check with me or something? He does like the front. Okay, he doesn't like the front. Don't you have two plays in your pocket?
Well, that's what
aggravated
me. No.
You just take a 5-yard penalty when that happens.
Not only are they lacking talent, now they're dumb. Like that whole thing that you said, it's like Freddie Kitchens-esque. It is. That's something I expect to see when I watch a Bengals game or the Browns. It was just stupid. Kick it. You're down by 11. You take the delay of game, 5-yard penalty, pushes it back. You have a new dunce kicker, Kai Forbath. And of course he's going to miss it.
No, the next time they have 4th-and-1 and they call a running play and it's not lined up right, they just take the penalty and punt.
Yeah.
Isn't that what you expect?
So the regular guy, who was it?
Nick Folk.
Nick Folk had the appendectomy?
Yeah. Appendectomy on Thanksgiving and they cut him this day. Yeah, he's done. He's out.
That's it?
Yeah, you live or die now with Kai Forbath.
You just said this in the break. I never even considered. I thought you don't come back from appendectomies. You're just a kicker.
Well, did they need the roster spot? Like, in other words, did they tell him just sit tight? We're going to cut you, but we're going to bring you back as soon as you're healthy.
That's a just a major surgery. He's coming back.
Major surgery.
I don't know if it's all that major.
It's a little scopy thing now, isn't it?
Yeah, I don't know if you can scope the appendix, but whatever. Either way,
I heard the
sew
procedure,
him up and get his ass back in there.
The procedure's like, it's not like open heart surgery is what I'm trying to say.
No, definitely not. I mean, I know the gallbladder they can take out through your belly button.
Yeah, something like that. For some reason, I thought appendectomies have gotten... Well, I don't want to say anything dumber than maybe I've already said. It ain't open.
Generic?
It ain't. It's like a generic vaginal childbirth. It's what's a big deal? Go to work.
I would scope the sucker. I'd poke a hole in him, stick a little vacuum in there, pull it right out, and off we go.
That's what I thought they kind of did.
Yeah, pretty much. I mean, come on. It's a useless organ. He can. I'm assuming he's coming back.
I thought so, too.
You people are crazy.
Really?
And he's really not that different than Kai Forbath.
He's better.
Whatever. Any of these bums they're just picking up off the street.
Kai Forbath. Would you please? Kai Forbath.
I got to do recovery time from appendectomy now.
But it is. It's unbelievable how Bill treats that position. Just pick the biggest loser D-bag name you could find. Old, washed-up suck bag on the street. And Bill wants him. Like that's how he wants to keep going at that position.
It says here, if you had a laparoscopic surgery, you'd probably be able to return to work or normal routine in 1 to 3 weeks.
So yeah, maybe that's an office job, not an NFL kicker.
Oh, come on, an NFL kicker is an office job.
Yeah, exactly.
Like, seriously.
The kicker they should have taken was that Younghoe Koo with Atlanta. Did you see that game?
The onside kicks were turned.
What do you have, 3 of them?
The kid can't kick a field goal to save his life, but the onside kicks were unbelievable. That was tremendous.
No, it's great if you're behind. Yeah, no,
well,
that's
what we're looking at.
Yeah, I can't make a field goal, but, you know, let's bring him in for the onside kicks.
Back to your phones, as promised. Nevin in the car. Yes, Nevin.
Hey, how's it going? I just want to piggyback off of that graphic that they showed about how James White is always on the field when they pass and Michelle is always on the field when they run. Like, why wouldn't they go to, like, a two-back set and kind of break up the monotony of telegraphing basically what they're going to do? I just kind of hang up and see what you guys got to say.
I have another question for you. Damian Harris? If Sony Michel can't play in the pass game, then why isn't Damian Harris playing?
Okay. My question is Sony Michel really that bad at it? Like, what? The touchdown that James White scored, where he just flared out to the backside, the one time, you know, the Texans decide not to cover him. Like, there are still a bunch of those plays. Sony Michel can't even do that.
It's gotta be related to blocking, right?
It has to be blitz pickup, something like that. Probably
It's gotta be. I mean, or
Brady hates him.
Right, again, or I go back to the 2 games ago when Brady threw him a pass that deflected off his hands and almost got picked. And there was a game before that where he turned the wrong way and, you know, Brady threw to the other side and maybe just Brady said, this guy doesn't get it either.
We've got Jim in the car. Go ahead, Jim.
Hey, guys. You guys nailed everything. So, you know, from Kyrie to, and I agree with Murray, it's on what's going on with the Pats and the receivers and everything else.
Max Headroom on line 5 there. What the hell was that?
Did that go over the air like that?
Yeah, I must
have. Awesome.
Oh, that's dynamite.
What sort of, we talk about bad phones all the time. What was that?
That's got to be one of our buzzers tomorrow.
Pee Wee Herman's robot conky.
That was great. I love that's the best that guy's ever sounded.
I'm more machine than man.
Anthony in Medford. Go ahead, Anthony.
What's up, guys?
like Mary said, that collection of garbage, they ain't getting no separation. And it doesn't help that we're last in the league of tight ends, and we have no tight end either. And the decisions they made, Mike, how do you take Sanu over Sanders?
Because Brady wanted him.
You know Sanders can get open. I mean, I'm trying to go back on that year, Caldwell and Gabriel. This year's worse. Caldwell had a decent year.
Oh, my God.
21 not in year.
So what? Wrong, Anthony. I'm sorry to cut you off. You said 06 was worse. Not even close. In 06, they never tried. In 06, they let Branch go, they let Givens go, and they did not try. I'm trying to think who they drafted in 2006. Who the hell?
Wide receiver, you mean?
No, like anywhere. Like,
06 was Maroney, wasn't it?
No, 07 was Maroney. 06, did you lose anything for cheating in that year? I always get those confused. hold on one second.
That's a good dink comment right there.
Well, Chad Jackson?
They did draft Chad Jackson 06. Very good, Jimmy. Yes.
David Thomas?
They did, so... and Maroney was 06. I'm sorry, Maz. You're right. I'm sorry.
I thought Maroney was 06. Yeah.
I'm sorry. So Maroney was in the first round. They traded up in the second for Chad Jackson. Dave Thomas, the tight end, in the third. Garrett Mills, a tight end fullback hybrid, in the fourth. So they did try at the draft. I take this back. They did try at the draft to sort of replenish some of the offense that they lost after Branch and Givens left in the same offseason. Maroney, Jackson, Thomas, Mills. Okay, fair enough. I was wrong. I got my draft years confused. I still think they tried more this year. They didn't go out and sign an Antonio Brown in 2006. They didn't then, you know, if they missed on Antonio Brown, turn around and send a second-round pick for Muhammad freaking Sanu?
No.
At the deadline?
No, 06 was, you know, Doug Gabriel and that crew.
And rookies, okay?
Yeah.
So I think they tried much harder this year to surround Brady. They just failed. Antonio Brown couldn't keep the phone away from him. And Brady's the one who wanted Sanu over Manny Sanders. That's the story, and Brady didn't deny it. So they gave Brady the player that he wanted after they gave him the first player that he wanted who couldn't keep his phone, you know, couldn't turn his phone off. So, like, this whole thing about the team abandoning him or, you know, malpractice and, you know, not doing anything for Brady is just, it's wrong. They brought you Antonio Brown. That's not the team's fault. They assumed tremendous risk with that signing. And it's Antonio Brown's fault.
Okay,
it's
not
the Patriots' fault.
But do we know for sure that Brady is blaming the team or the coach? Or is Brady just pouting because he's pouting?
I don't feel like Brady blames Antonio Brown or Rob Gronkowski or Mohamed Sanu for dropping the ball. It feels like he's mad at his world, his work environment. He takes it out on the kids, and I feel like that's what he does.
Oh, he's definitely taking it out on them. Like, again, which is
why don't you blame your buddy Rob Gronkowski for stringing the team along for 3 months?
And he should be mad there because Gronk completely screwed them. But I don't know. How about draft a tight end? How about bring in a tight end?
Well, they drafted a receiver in the first round. Like, what more do you want them to do?
Well, and they blew it. They picked the wrong guy. So they screwed up there. Why'd you have to get rid of Josh Gordon? Ooh, because he was late for a meeting. Ooh. So I can understand why he'd be mad there, too. At least there was some sort of modicum of trust between him and Gordon.
Yeah, do you get the sense that Brady fought hard on that one?
Do you think he has any kind of say in that?
I don't know. Maz keeps hinting at something. He heard something on Brady and Gordon.
No, I didn't hear anything. I just say, again, I'm going back to the preseason. When they brought up Gordon, Brady would touch him with a 10-foot pole.
You have the mind that Brady wasn't really that high on Josh Gordon.
Well,
and where
at
does
the
that
end,
come from?
Yeah.
I think just...
You know what I mean?
Right.
No, I'm not. I don't have any inside info. Mm-hmm. I'm not telling you that.
Mm-hmm. it sort of come out of nowhere, this thing about Brady
because
not believing Gordon.
I'll tell you why. Because the people who have said that they've mismanaged the receiver position for 2 years point out that Josh Gordon was part of the solution. So I think on some level, Brady looks at Gordon and says, all he could run was a couple of routes. It's not like he was really that much of a savior. So I don't think Brady really had all that high of an opinion in Gordon. I don't know that.
Still, at least he was a veteran, and same with Demaryius Thomas. And I'm no Demaryius Thomas guy, but I can understand why Brady would trust him more than hanging under Gunnar Olszewski, who's now on injured reserve.
Demaryius Thomas, that's another one. They lost Demaryius Thomas because they brought in Antonio Brown. Oh, God, did they? So, again, you can say they mismanaged it in a lot of ways.
They swung and missed. But don't tell me they didn't try to surround Brady. They tried to surround Brady.
No, and they threw money at some guys in the spring, too, right? Adam Humphries, did you rattle those off?
Yeah, not just now, but Humphries. But they missed, so I'm not going to put that on the list. They actually paid Antonio Brown and got him in here. So, like, we could cry about not surrounding Tom Brady. Bitch at Antonio Brown for not, you know, for not being able to make it 2 weeks without threatening someone. Like, that's who you should be blaming.
I mean, it does feel like Brady feels chronically underappreciated now. Chronically underappreciated. And that whether it's because they wouldn't commit to him in the contract or they didn't do enough to bring in receivers and build a receiving core, all the above, whatever it is, he's more distracted by that than he is with actually working with the group he has.
Okay, but this thing that guys weren't open last night is patently false. Patently false. I'll give you some examples after Murray's 90-second update, no commercials.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking five of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on five we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top five? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.